So the Gemara says that we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem in our case is that he makes a tanai, harei zeget imlo basi. He doesn't come. Midioraisa, an ones occurred, so he has the ability to claim an ones, which would mean that it's not a get. He's still married. And because it's nos imprutsos, so we say, all right, consider it like a good get, you can get remarried. So the Gemara asks, how can we possibly do such a thing? I understand that the rabbis have a certain koach, but here, on a dioraisa level, she's an ashes ish. How can we allow her to get remarried midrabanan if on a dioraisa level she's an ashes ish? Her children midioraisa are mamzerim, but midrabanan, oh, it's okay? How do you do such a thing? The rabbis can't just snap their fingers and make a din mamzer disappear, an iser ashes ish disappear. So the Gemara answers, kol de mekadesh, adaita de rabbanan mekadesh, v'afkinu rabbanan lekedushe mine. The Gemara says that when a person gets married, he's mekadesh adaita de rabbanan. And therefore, afkinu rabbanan lekedushe mine. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says as follows, kol mekadesh isha al das, shenhigu chachme Yisrael b'Yisrael hu mekadesha. Shiyu kayamin kiddushin lefi divrei chachamim, v'yu b'teilim lefi divrei chachamim, al yedei gitin shechshiru chachamim. So Rashi says, anyone who gets married adaita d'rabbanan, means with the understanding, al das, with the understanding that the chachamim have the ability to make or break kiddushin. Rashi basically says the same thing in Gittin. And I would argue that from Rashi, it's still not clear exactly how this happens. What's the mechanism? He just says anyone who gets married al das, that the Chachamim have the power to make or break Kiddushin. How? What do you mean they have the power to make or break Kiddushin? Using what methods? So I believe that Rashi is vague and ambiguous. And it's not clear exactly what he's saying. What's very clear is the approach of the Ritva. Menachem, can I use your COVID for a second? Thank you. The Ritva, in a few very short lines, says a lot more than Rashi says. Says the Ritva, Kol demagayetesh adaita derabanan mekadesh. So, for Rashi, kol demekadesh adaita rabbanan mekadesh means anyone who gets married does it al das that the rabbanan can break what they're doing. The Ritva says that's not the pshat. It's not what kol demekadesh adaita rabbanan mekadesh. Kol demekadesh adaita means even though, now the line even though is a little strange in the Moseder of Kook Ritva, they switch it to lochein. Maybe afal pi means even though you only say Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael, which is also a very vague expression, I'm getting married based on the religion of Moshe and Yisrael. What does that mean? Even though that's all you're saying, you mean a lot more than that. Harehu ki'ilu hisne al menash yirtu chachamim. When you say Hareh mekudesh esli b'tabazu Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael, what you really mean is al tanai that Beis Din wants this marriage. V'sosmo kiperusho. What does that mean, sosmo kiperusho? What does he mean by that in the Ritva? What is v'sosmo kiperusho? How do you guys understand that line? Anyone? V'sosmo kiperusho. Sheheim dvarm shebelibo ubelev kol adam.
When you said Moshe B'Yisrael, you meant the Chacham Ki'ilu. That was your intention when you said
Moshe. And what are the words V'sasmo Kiperusho?
Stam would just say Moshe B'Yisrael as if you meant to say.
As if you said all of this. Sasmo, Stam, not saying anything, is Kiperusho. Now, he's really coming from a Kasha. His Kasha is, and somebody asked me this the other day, who was it? It was Conrad, I believe. I believe you asked me, what about Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim? Yes, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. 2 points for the London team. What does that mean, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim? Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim? Judah, what does that mean? Yeah, you can't say, oh, I meant X, Y, and Z. I know we did this deal and I didn't say anything, but I meant X, Y, and Z. X, Y, and Z. Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim means that things that you're thinking in your heart, like I only do this deal, I'll menas that, if they stay in your heart, then they stay in your heart. Dvarim Shebelev are Einam Dvarim. If you want to make a Tanai, you need to specify, my friend. So that's generally the principle. But there's an exception. And that is that Dvarim Shebelibo Ubelev Kol Adam don't need to be specified. Meaning, things that are not only in your heart, but they're in everybody's heart. Meaning they're so absolutely obvious, then you don't need to say them. Another term for this might be an umdina. Just to use terms that we get familiar more with the terms. If I say, Dovi, I'm selling you my yacht, and you say, okay, great, $20,000, yes, deal's done, you bought my yacht. And then, 5 days later, I say, oh, by the way, you realize that was on condition that, I don't know, that it rains on Tuesday. So you'll say back to me, what are you talking about? It was on condition that it rains. You never said that. I know, but I was thinking that, and that's I only entered the deal. It's a mekachto, so I only entered the deal with that assumption. So you would say back to me, that's ridiculous. Now, what if you give me the money and the $20,000 that you give me, I know this is an extreme example, and it's probably not 100% correct, but just to get, what if the $20,000 that you give me is Canadian dollars? Anyone here from Canada? Canadian dollars. And we all know that Canadian dollars are like worthless, right? So it's Canadian dollars. So you give me the $20,000, you put it in an envelope, and like 3 days later, I open up the envelope to get out money, and I come back to you and I say, what is this? And you said, well, you said dollars. So I gave you dollars. You didn't specify. So I would say back to you, oh, but obviously I meant American dollars, and you're going to be all like lumdish and say, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. Should have specified. So I would say back to you, no, Dvarim Shebelibo Belev Kol Adam. It's obvious that in America, if we're doing a deal and I say $20,000, it's obvious that I meant American dollars. I don't even need to specify that. Oh, but I didn't specify it? That's true. So there are things that are called Dvarim Shebelev, and Dvarim Shebelev, like, oh, only if it rains on Tuesday, that's Einam Dvarim. But Dvarim Shebelibo Belev Kol Adam, something that's obvious and it doesn't need to be stated, so that I don't need to state. So that's all the background to what the Ritva is coming from. The Ritva says that when you marry a woman, called Mekadesh Lalekta the Rabbanu Mekadesh, means that you're doing it al tanai, that the rabbis are going to agree and not want to undo the marriage. And even though I never said that, because that's not what Kedas Moshe Yisrael means, still, Sasmo Kepe Rusho, Shem Dvarim Shebelibo Ubelev Kol Adam, Shehem Dvarim. What does that mean, Shem Dvarim? That we paskin are considered Dvarim, even though you never said them. It's not Einam Dvarim. Dvarim Shebelibo Ubelev Kol Adam are considered Dvarim. And therefore, that's really what goes on here. And then he says, Afkinu Rabbanu Kedusha Mineh, because it's like any Tanai, that if I say Harei Mekudeshes Li Almenas, that I make $100 next month, and I don't make $100 next month, American dollars next month, so then, that's it, the Kiddushin's not Chal. Now there's a huge difference between the way that I presented Rashi so far and the Ritva. According to Rashi, again, we're not yet voting and deciding, and it's not yet my final answer, what he means by the Rashi. But the way we presented Rashi so far is, I get married, adaita derabanan means that the rabbis have an ability to uproot my kiddushin. I'm getting married, al das, that they can uproot my kiddushin. That they're the ones who decide who's married, who's not married. According to the Ritva, it's not like that at all. It's that adaita derabanan means that I made a tanai that it's tali on whether they want it. What ends up uprooting my kiddushin? Not the rabbis, my Tanai. Meaning, I could have made a Tanai, Hare Mekudesh Asli, Almanas, that it rains on Tuesday. If it doesn't rain on Tuesday, we're not married. Who uprooted the Kiddushin? The rabbis? The rain? Or the lack of rain uprooted my Kiddushin? No. Who uprooted my Kiddushin? Who uprooted my Kiddushin? I did. Because I made a Tanai, and the Tanai never happened. So I could make a Tanai Almanas that it rains. I could make a Tanai Almanas that Ariel approves of the Kiddushin. And then if Ariel ends up saying, I don't approve, so who uprooted the Kiddushin? Not really Ariel. Really me, by making the Tanai. Ariel just happens to be the subject of the Tanai. The Tanai could have been the rain. The Tanai could have been that I did a jumping jack. The Tanai, it was that Ariel either gave a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But what really uprooted the Kiddushin is me. So, according to the Ritva, we have a precedent for this. But the koach of Chazal here is really coming from me. I'm the one who empowered them through my Tanai. And called the Mekadesh Adaita Derabanan means, again, according to Rashi, called the Mekadesh Adaita Derabanan means that I am getting married with the understanding that the Chachamim have the ability to uproot my Kiddushin. And if they uproot my Kiddushin, who's doing it? They are. According to the Ritva, called the Mekadesh Adaita Derabanan means I'm getting married with a Tanai. And if it ends up that the rabbis give the thumbs down, it's my Tanai which uproots the Kiddushin. Now, what does it mean then? Ve'afkinu Rabbanon l'kiddushe mineh. Ve'afkinu Rabbanon. For Rashi, that's very nice. The rabbis uproot it. According to the Ritva, what does it mean, afkinu Rabbanon? It means that the decision of the Rabbanon are what end up triggering the Tanai, and the Tanai uproots. Right? It's not as glatt. Afkinu Rabbanon. It's like saying Afkinu the rain, l'kiddushin mineh. It's not really Afkinu the Rabbanan. Meaning, let's even say it like this. Is the sugya of Afkinu a chiddush, or is it not a chiddush? According to Rashi, it's a huge chiddush. I could somehow get married. Like, imagine I got married, and under the chuppah I said, like, I'm getting married, but I am empowering Yaakov Sachs that he has the ability at any time during my life to end my marriage. I'm doing it because I give him the strength to do it. So that's a huge chiddush, because like Mechitei see that the Torah acknowledges that Yaakov Sachs has the ability to end my marriage if he decides to end my marriage. But if I do it al Tanai, so a Tanai is already a halachic mechanism that we're all familiar with. If I say al Tanai that if Yaakov Sachs gives the thumbs down, then the Kiddushin is uprooted, so then I hear. That's something that we know about. Afkinu is not really a Chiddush. Afkinu is just an application of the Din of Tanai. Now, is Rashi really saying something different than the Ritva? Maybe not. Maybe Rashi means the same exact thing as the Ritva. The reason I'm doing this is, first of all, I want you to realize that Rashi actually never uses the word Tanai, like the Ritva does. The Ritva quotes precedent, Almanas Sheir Tzaba. Rashi doesn't do that either. And we're about to see, when we look at Tosfos, that Tosfos is going to be a lot more like the way I just presented Rashi than the way I presented the Ritva. So let's take that, and then I'll take the questions. Let's go into Tosfos for a second. So Tosfos notes that the sugya in Yevamos and the sugya in Bava Basra, right, the case in Yevamos, is, we said it's a complicated case of a katana, someone was, he was Mekadesh a katana, but they never consummated the marriage with Bia, and then she's taken out when she's a gedola to consummate the marriage, and before they're able to, so another man sweeps in and is Mekadesh her. So what happens? So the Gemara says, oh, that second guy is a bad guy, he was also Shaloka Hogan, and therefore we're going to do Afkinu and uproot his Kiddushin. And we have another case in Bava Basra, very romantic proposal, where the guy hangs the woman up, you know, by a rope and tells her, either say yes or I'm going to kill you. So she, you know, there were some rose petals on the floor, and she accepts the Kiddushin. So she says, okay, fine, I agree. So also, the Gemara says we apply Afkinu, we uproot the Kiddushin. Both in that sugya in Bava Basra and in the sugya of Yevamos, in both sugyas, the Gemara leaves out the critical line of Kol deMekadesh Adaita deRabbanan Mekadesh. Now, one could say that they left it out because we already know that's how Afkinu works. We have other sugyas that talk about Afkinu. Gemara doesn't have to always put in the mechanism, right? For the Ritva, that line, Kol deMekadesh Adaita deRabbanan Mekadesh, is the explanation of the mechanism. That's the Tanai. Kol deMekadesh does it with a Tanai that based in have to approve of the marriage. So the Gemara doesn't have the principle is called Afkinu. The mechanism is called Mekadesh. So they did Mekadesh. So for the Ritva, it's not the biggest kasha. The Gemara doesn't have to tell us the mechanism every time. You can refer to the concept called Afkinu. You want to know what the Afkinu is? So look in the other sugyas where it says called Mekadesh. So they did Rabbanu Mekadesh. Called Mekadesh is anyway according to the Ritva. It's in brackets. It's in parentheses. What right? If you read our sugya, what happens? How come if Midio Raisa, she's an Ashes Ish? How come we're allowed to allow her to get remarried? Because of Afkinu. Parenthetically, you want to know why Afkinu works? Because called the Mekadesh. That did Rabbanu Mekadesh. But that's an explanation. So the Gemara doesn't have to say that every time. But in Bava Basra and in Yevamos, the Gemara doesn't say it. And the Re in Tosfos takes that as an indication that maybe Afkinu in those sugyas of Yevamos and Bava Basra is not working through this mechanism called the Mekadesh, Adaita Dirabana Mekadesh. Meaning, let's assume for now that called the Mekadesh, Adaita Dirabana Mekadesh means exactly like the Ritva said, which is a Tanai. Anyone who gets married does it all Tanai. So maybe in these two cases, from the fact that it doesn't say that, indicates that Afkinu does not work through a Tanai. Rather, what does it work through? Yesh koach biyad chachamim lakor davar min haTorah. The lakor davar min haTorah means that the Torah gives the Rabbanon the ability to uproot things. How come the rabbis are allowed to say that if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, you don't take the lulav? Certainly if you are b'makom hamikdash, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to take the lulav. Let's talk about shofar, because shofar, lulav gets more complicated. Let's talk about shofar. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar. Why not? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Because the rabbi said, oh, shema yafirenu da'ora. How can the rabbis do that? They're being oker a mitzvah in the Torah. Yeah, yesh koach b'yad chacham, lakor davar min haTorah. The rabbis have the ability. They can uproot something. The Torah gives them that power. So good. Just like there's something, there's a halachic reality called mitzvah shofar. There's also a halachic reality called Kiddushin. The Chachamim have the ability to be oker davar min haTorah. They can be oker Kiddushin. So says the Re, from the fact that the Gemara in Bava Basra and Yevamos doesn't mention Kol deMekadesh Adaita deRabbanan Mekadesh, maybe that's not the mechanism. Maybe the mechanism is called Akira. Chazal have the ability. Now, Agav, that starts to ring in my ears like what Rashi said. Rashi said, now he said it on the words called Mekadesh Adaita deRabbanan Mekadesh, but he interpreted that to mean Chachamim have the ability to uproot Kiddushin. I get married with the recognition, and that's how, according to the Re, if we learn, remember, the Re is Mesupuk. Is it because of Kol deMekadesh, or is it because of Oker Davar Min haTorah? Let's say it's Oker Davar Min haTorah. Then how come when you get married you say Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael? Is Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael giving the Chachamim power, or is it just acknowledging their power? According to the Ritva, when I get married to my wife, I say Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael. Why? Because that's me making my Tanai. That's what empowers the Rabbanan to give the thumbs down, and then the Tanai kicks in, and that's it. The marriage is over. So, Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael empowers the Chachamim. According to Tosfos, on the Tzad, right, he's Mesupuk, the Re. On the Tzad that it's coming from, Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim, I don't say Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael to give them the power. The Torah gave them the power. So why do I say Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael? I'm just acknowledging it. I mean, I'll be honest, if I asked any of you before we learn this sugya, how come at a marriage, when you get married, you say, I'm marrying you, Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael? What would you have said? What? You would have said it's Al Tanai? Before we learn this sugya?
Yeah. He's holding
from a okay, you would have said it's the minog. Okay, but if I asked you, why is there a minog like this? Why do you say this? You would have said, like, I don't know, it's just... You're acknowledging that we're doing everything al pi halacha. You're like saying, like, I'm marrying you according to the traditional laws of Judaism.
I would say same reason everyone in Israel has to get married by the rabbi.
Yeah, why? Wow, you're getting like political now, yeah? Right, but it's acknowledging the halachic system. So according to Tosfos, and... even though Tosos is misupuk about it, let's before we flesh out this point, let's just talk about the Tosos and Moav Asra. Tosos in Yevamos says that the Re was misupuk. Is it because of Tanai, or is it because of Yesh Koch B'Yad Chachamim? Tosos in Bava Basra has a really fascinating suggestion. He says, you know what? Maybe there's a machlokas asugis. We're not so used to machlokas asugis. Usually, when there's a contradiction between two sugis, we figure out a way for them to coexist. Which Tosfos does at the end of the Tosfos. But in the middle of the Tosfos, Tosfos says, you know what, maybe this is just a machlokas asugyas. What do I mean by that? I mean that the Amoraim, who authored the Gemara in Ksubis, whoever the Gemara, right, we know the Gemara is discussions between Amoraim. So whoever was in the discussion in Ksubis, and whoever was in the discussion in Gittin, they hold, you know how Afkinu works? Through Tanai. And that's why the Gemara says, Adaita derabanan mekadesh. But whichever Amoraim were the authors of the Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Bava Basra, they hold that it's not because of Tanai. They hold it's because of Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim, to just be okay things. And therefore, when they wrote the Gemara there, they didn't put the words called Mekadish, that I did the Rabbanan. It's Mamish HaMachlokas Asugyas. The two that say called Mekadish, that I did the Rabbanan, which are Ksubis and Gittin, hold that it's based on Tanai. Right? There's basically two, there's a machlokas asugis. The authors over there feel that also in Yevamos and Bava Basra, it's because of a Tanai. Oh, but it doesn't say called the Mekadesh, right? Because they didn't write those Gemaras. Meaning, let's say the Amora who wrote the Gemara in Ksubis and Gittin, let's say his name was, you know, Rabbi Reuven. So Rabbi Reuven also thinks that the sugya in Yevamos and the sugya in Bava Basra is because of Tanai. He just wasn't the author of that sugya. That sugya was authored by Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Afkinu works through Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim. If he would have been the author of Gittin and Ksubis, he also wouldn't have written Adaita Derabanan and Mekadesh. So that's the first view in Tosfos. Then Tosfos gives a second approach. And Tosfos says, you know what, maybe not true. Maybe there isn't a machlokas asugyas. Maybe there's really two different tracks to Afkinu. Maybe Afkinu works differently in different contexts. When you're in the context of Ksubis and Gittin, where nobody did anything wrong, it's just an unfortunate situation. He was Mekadesh the Isha, he gave the woman a get, Amanash lo basi. And then an ones happens. Oh gosh, now what do we do? Nobody did anything wrong. So there, and he married her originally fine. He married her with a regular Kiddushin. So nobody did anything wrong. It's really more about the Kiddushin. Kiddushin was fine. So the rabbis don't have the ability to just swoop in and undo a marriage if the marriage was done totally fine. The purpose of giving the rabbis the ability to uproot a marriage is for them to fix an avwa. When the Kiddushin was done, Shalom Kehogan, like in Yevamos, where the guy just swept in and stole the woman and married her, or like in Bava Basra, where he forced her to get married, there the Kiddushin was done inappropriately. So Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim, to be okay that. The Torah doesn't just give the rabbis this, you know, unchecked power to just walk around like, oh, your marriage, undone. Your marriage, undone. You, oh, you could stay married. You, no, no. The rabbis can't just like haphazardly undo Kiddushins. When did the Torah give them the ability to undo Kiddushins? When the Kiddushin was done, Shalom Kehogan. So maybe the reason why the sugya in Yevamos and Baba Basra says, omits the Adaita Derabbanan, because there it's working through Yesh Koch Biyad Chachamim. But maybe the sugyas in Ksubis and in Gittin, where it says Adaita Derabbanan, there the rabbis don't have the ability to just undo people's marriages. And therefore, there we need a Tanai. So let's do a summary of the different shitas. I'm just going to get myself a new pen. Hold on. Okay, let's go. Here we go. This is going to clarify everything if something's not clear. What is this idea of Afke'inu? Okay, Afke'inu. Oh, new marker. Great. Afke'inu. One possibility is that it works through a Tanai. One possibility is that it works through this idea of Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim. Okay? I feel like I missed a good joke over there. Ritva and, let's say, you know, maybe I should write this. I'm going to write the chart a little bit differently. Let's write the chart like this. Here. Afke'inu. So we've got Rashi. According to Rashi, how does Afke'inu work? I'm not sure. We'll leave that as a question mark for right now. Ritva. How does Afke'inu work? It works through a Tanai. According to Tosfos in Yevamos, it's either a Tanai or Yesh Koach. He has a suffix. It's a suffix. He doesn't know. Is it a Tanai or is it Yesh Koach? L'chora, we don't know. Is he talking just about over there in Yevamos? Where I would generally think he means Afke'inu in general. Is it working as a Tanai or is it working through Yesh Koach? Tosfos in Bava Basra. Hold on a second. Tosfos in Bava Basra number one. What does he say? He says it's a machlokes hasugyos. What do we mean by that? According to Tosfos, the sugya, we'll just pick one for now. The sugya in Yevamos is learning that it's based on Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim. That's what it is. The sugya in Ksubis, our sugya, is because of Tanai. Hold on, that's what he says. He holds that. That's not called the sugya in Yevamos. Let's call it the Amoraim. The Amoraim in Yevamos. And here the Amoraim, meaning it's not a machlokas rishonim, it's Amoraim themselves.
They believe.
These Amoraim think this. And then Tosfos in Bava Basra number 2 says when it's there's two different tracks. When it's a kiddushin, Shelo Kehogen. So then, how does it work? Through Yesh Koach. When it's a Kiddushin that was Kehogen, it was done properly, so then it's based on a Tanai. The fundamental question. The fundamental question that we're asking here, we have lots of different shitas, is Afke'inu something that comes because I empower them? Ritva? Maybe the Re? The Amoraim in Ksubis? Or, according to the Tosfos, by the end, in a case where the Kiddushin was done kehogan. When the Kiddushin was done kehogan, the rabbis can't just come and end it. It's only because I empowered them. And that's what it means. Adaita derabbanan means that I give them the power to undo my Kiddushin. Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael means I'm empowering them to uproot my Kiddushin. How can they uproot my Kiddushin? Through a Tanai. I need a halachic mechanism. They can't just uproot a good marriage without a mechanism. But a good marriage can be uprooted by a Tanai. If you take the other approach of Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim, what that just means, especially if you take, let's say you're the Amoraim and Yuvamos, or let's say you're like the Re, but you side with this Tzad of Yesh Koach, that just means that I don't have to give them the power. The Torah already gave them the power. Afke'inu is a huge chiddush. It means the rabbis can, when they want, choose to undo a marriage. Now again, when you go back to Rashi, and you read Rashi, to me, Rashi reads more like Yesh Koach than it does Tanai. I know traditionally everybody wants to say Rashi is really on the Tanai side. But to me, Rashi reads more Kol Mekadesh Yisha Al Dashen Higu Chochmei Yisrael B'Yisrael Hu Mekadesh Shim Kayom and Kiddushin Lefid Debrei Chochamim. Everyone does it under the context. Everybody, when they get married, realizes that they're getting married and they're at the whim of the rabbis. If the rabbis want to end their marriage, they can. If they don't want to, they can. They won't. Yesh Koch B'Yad Chochamim Lakor Dabar Min HaTorah. Okay. Now, I realize there's more to say in Rashi, and we're going to hopefully get to Rashi. We're not done with Rashi yet. But I wanted to point out, I think, depending on what we've basically gotten to, is that there's really two ways to read the sugya. Again, we can handle who's saying what, and the Tosfos in the beginning, and Tosfos in the end, and the Tanayim, and the Amoraim, but when all the dust settles, and we take a step back, and we stop getting into each individual opinion, we just look in general. In general, there's two ways to understand Afkinu. It's either a Tanai, and that certainly works better with the words Adaita Dirabbanan Mekadesh, or Yesh Koach, and I would say that that works better with the second line. V'Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddush Eminei. Right? There's two lines. Kol D'Mekadesh Adaita Dirabbanan Mekadesh V'Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddush Eminei. I would suggest that the first line, Adaita Dirabbanan Mekadesh, works a lot better with the Tanai approach. And the Yesh Koach, Biyad Chachamim Lakor Dabar, works a lot better with the line of Ve'afke'inu Rabbanan L'Kiddushei Mineh. Now, I realize that each of these lines can be worked out according to either one. But I think just from a natural, without getting into all the thumb twisting, Adaita Derabbanan Mekadesh sounds like I'm making it tonight. And Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddush Eminei sounds like the rabbis can uproot it. Not by tonight, the rabbis can uproot it. I think that how you learn here impacts very greatly how you read the Hemshech of the Gemara. What's the Hemshech of the Gemara? Tenach Kadosh Bekaspa. Kaddish Bibiya Maikala Meimar. Our answer is Shavi Rabbanan Lubilosinus. Now, according to, I'm going to call this the Tosfos approach, just because Tosfos talks about it more. And this will be the Ritva approach. According to the Tosfos approach of Yesh Koach Kiyat Chacham Lakor Dabar Min HaTorah, so I think the rest of the Gemara is great. Because what's the rest of the Gemara doing? The rest of the Gemara is trying to flesh out how that works exactly. Yesh koach b'yachom, they can uproot your marriage. Really? They can? How? Well, they have a koach. Really? What's their koach? So Gemara says, well, I understand when it comes to kesef that they have a koach. What's their koach when it comes to kesef? There's something on the books already called hefker based in hefker. They're able to take money from one person and give it to someone else. They're able to meddle in monetary deals. So therefore, when it comes to kesef, it's easy. They could just turn the kesef into a matana. But when it comes to bia, if he was mekadesh the isha with bia, what are they going to do? They're going to make like the bia as if it never happened? Of course the bia happened. He had bia with her. I'll das kiddushin. So my answer is, enochanami. But they can make it into a biyaznus. And Tosfos fleshes out, like, why was that such a question? Such a question because generally we don't give the chachamim the koach to make an act that was permissible into an aveira. Here they're basically taking a permissible act and turning it into an aveira because it's now biyaznus. But in a chanami, Tosfos says. Tosfos clearly says that in Bava Basra. I would argue that he's saying that here as well. That in a chanami, you're right, he's turning the act into an aveira, but when we look at the larger picture, afkinu is important to do here, and therefore, yeah, we're willing to turn it into an act of an aveira, because you realize it's not really an aveira. When you did it under the context of a mitzvah. It's only like limafreya that they turn it into a bilaznus. But you didn't do a bilaznus when you did it. So, you know, it's like a shogeg, for sure, at least like a shogeg. If you think it's not Shabbos, for good reason, and then you do something, so it's hard to say that you were Mechal Shabbos. I realize that, bottom line, you were Mechal Shabbos, but you didn't go and do an act of Chil Shabbos, or at least not knowingly. So especially here, you know, there, it really was Chil Shabbos right away. Here, it's only later that Limafreya becomes a Bilaznus. So anyway, going back to my point, the point here is that if you learn like Tosfos, Yesh Koch Biyad Chacham Lakor Davar Min HaTorah, so I understand exactly what the Gemara is doing. The Gemara is trying to understand, well, how does that play out? What's the, you know, you told me the mechanism is called Yesh Koch Biyad Chacham. I want to understand how that mechanism works. When it comes to Kesef, I understand. When it comes to Bia, how does it work? The Gemara says, I'll tell you how it works. We turn the Bia into Bia's Nus. It's no longer the Shem Kiddushin. But if you learn like the Ritva, how in the world do you read the Gemara? Gemara doesn't make any sense. How did Afkinu work? What was the mechanism? Adaita de Rabbanan Mekadesh. There was a Tanai. So now what's the Gemara asking? Teinach Kesef. What do you mean? We don't need to clarify anything else. Everything's clarified already. You want to know what the... For the Ritva, what's the mechanism? The mechanism is called Tanai. You want to know how a Tanai works? Go look in Meseches Kiddushin. There's a million Tanais in Meseches Kiddushin. But a Tanai works, that you're allowed to make something conditional. So when you read the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? How can we do this? Call the Mekadesh Adaita de Rabbanan Mekadesh. Mekafkin Rabbanan Kiddushin Minei. Period. That's the end of the story. You know how it works? It works because of a Tanai. According to Tosfos, I understand. The Gemara says it works because anyone who gets married does it that with the understanding that Basin has the ability to undo a marriage. So the Gemara asks, really? How do they do that? When it comes to Kesef, I understand. How do they do that when it comes to Bia? Like, how does that work? But if you learn like the Ritva, you know how it works? Because of a Tanai. So there's nothing to talk about. What's Tenach Kesef? I understand Kesef. So according to the Ritva, you're going to need to say that what the Gemara is doing is it's not explaining the mechanism. It's cleaning up the mess that this Tanai left. What do I mean by that? You did a Tanai. What did the Tanai do? It uprooted the Kiddushin. So that's it. They're not married anymore. Okay, so they're not married anymore. The only problem is we've got money that the woman has that the guy gave her, Lashem Kiddushin. Like, what happens to that money now? What are we supposed to do with that money? Because you just uprooted the Kiddushin through a Tanai. So now what do we do with the money? Right? For Tosfos, Tenach Kesef meant, I understand how you can uproot a marriage if the marriage was done with Kesef. How will you uproot a marriage if the marriage was done with Bia? The Gemara answers, I'll tell you how we'll do it. According to the Ritva, that's not how you read the Gemara. According to the Ritva, you read the Gemara like this. We uprooted the marriage because there was a Tanai. Okay, now the marriage is uprooted. Very good. Now what are we supposed to do with all this money? Somebody says, oh, it's not a big deal. Hefker based in Hefker. It's a matana. Okay, well, what are we supposed to do about that Bia? They had a Bia. Okay, you're right. So they had Bia. So it was a Bia. So no, you're right. It was out of wedlock. What do you mean we're supposed to do with the Bia? So, whatever. It was a Bia. But again, according to Tosfos, the Gemara is literally trying to still work out the nuts and bolts of how Afkinu happened. According to the Ritva, Afkinu happened. Now we just need to clean up the mess that's left because of Afkinu. What was that? I said, according to Tosfos, the line of Tenach to Kaddish Bekaspa is fleshing out the nuts and bolts of how Afkinu is happening. How does Afkinu work? What's the mechanism? They have a koach. What do you mean they have a koach? What are they doing with that koach? How are they using their koach? By Kesef, I understand. They have a koach to turn the money into a matana. And therefore, once they turn the money into a matana, there's no longer kiddushin. Why is there no longer kiddushin? Because no kesef kiddushin was given. But according to the Ritva, you know why there's no longer kiddushin? Because kiddushin was done al tanai. Not because they came and turned the money into... The kiddushin was done al tanai. The tanai wasn't mikuyam. So that's it. There's no kiddushin. Now, what are we supposed to do with the money? Right? Now, what are we supposed to do with the money? Like, there's all this money. She has money. She has a ring. Right? What do we do with the ring? You know, it's almost like, you know, again, just lamash lamad davadome. If you have a, you know, you have a couple that gets engaged and then they break the engagement, so like, then there's like that awkward, like, okay, well, I guess I give back the ring. Like, what do I do with the ring now? Giving back the ring, you know, if we're talking about the wedding band, not the engagement ring, in case you don't know, start saving now. You have to give a girl an engagement ring when you get married, like you get engaged with the ring. And then under the chuppah, you give her another ring, and that's the kiddushin. That does the kiddushin.
Why don't we do kiddushin at the time
of the... A separate question. We'll talk about that another time. But lemaisa, it's funny, you know, the engagement ring can cost like, you know, a couple of $1,000 because it's a diamond and... And the wedding ring is like, you know, like $150. You know, it's just like a gold. You would think that...
Why do you have to give an engagement ring if it's not kiddushin?
You don't have to, but that's the minhag.
Why don't they have the minhag to give an engagement ring?
Well, there's a reason why we don't use stones at a wedding. And the reason we don't use a stone at a wedding is because since a stone is something that it's unclear to the naked eye how much it's worth, the woman might be thinking like, that's right, he's marrying me with a ring that's worth $10,000, and really it costs like $500. You know, and he got it like, it looks like it's really nice, and it's really made out of glass, or it's not really as nice. So we don't want her to go in thinking that the wedding was being done on a certain amount of money when it was really something else. So we give a simple ring, where everybody knows it's worth $150, whatever it's worth. So let's think about it like this. If I give her the wedding ring, and we want to uproot that, Beis Din can say, okay, that ring was not given as kiddushin, it was just given as a gift. And Mamela, there's no kiddushin anymore, because you married her by giving her the ring. No, the ring was a matana. That's Tosfos. According to the Ritva, it's more like, now that we are not married because of a Tanai, like, what should we do with the engagement ring? Like, should I give it back? Should I pawn it? And I get like, I'll just keep the money? Like, what do I do? What do I do with the engagement ring? That's what the Tanakh is asking. Okay, what time is it? 17. All right, let's just a couple of more points. It's very clear according to everyone. It doesn't matter if you learn Tanai or if you learn Yesh Koach. Everyone's agreeing that the Kiddushin is uprooted l'mafreya. Meaning, it's uprooted from when it was done. Tosos points out that this is going to generate for us a number of problems. Let me just say the three problems, then I'll take your question. Problem number one is Shamei Yechapeh. We already saw Shamei Yechapeh in Gittin and Daf Yud Zayin. How come you have to write a time into a get? Why do you have to write a time into a get? Because if there's no time written into the get, if a man's wife has an affair, and she ends up that she's also his niece, and he feels bad for his brother that... He doesn't want his brother's kid to get the death penalty. So even though he's really upset at her because she cheated on him, he doesn't want her to die. So even though he really only gave her the get on June 1st and she had the affair in March, so she cheated on him, since there's no time in there, he can just make up whenever he wants. So he can come into Beis Din and lie and say, oh, I gave her the get on January 1st. So when she had the affair in March, it wasn't an affair. But maybe it wasn't good because she, you know, it was a bias nus, but... It wasn't an affair. So because we don't want that, that's why you have to write a time into a get. According to Rav Yochanan, I believe. Shemei Yechapa al-Basachosa, or Reish Lakish, maybe it was. Reish Lakish. Shemei Yechapa al-Basachosa. So says Tosos, wait a second. If Afkinu is away, and Tosos asks this Dafke in Meseches Gittin. He doesn't ask it in our Mesechta. What's the case in Gittin? The case in Meseches Gittin is that you send a get to your wife, and then on the way, you regret having sent this get. So you want to be mevatel the get. So obviously the best way to do that, and the most responsible way, is to quickly chase down the shliach and stop him before he gets to her and be mevatel the get and rip up the get. But if you can't do that, technically al pi halacha, you could just be mevatel it in a basin. Just go into a basin and say, oh, my get is batel. Now you realize that's a big, big problem because the get is already on the way. It's traveling. She's going to get the get, think that she's divorced. You can now try to catch up to her. And even if you get to her after she gets the get, you'll say, like, hey, honey. She'll be like, punch you in the face. And you'll be like, no. I actually was mevatel the get. And she's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I punched you. Right? And you could say, like, I know you got a get a few days ago, but I was mevatel it. And we're still married. You could do that. But what if she's like quick on the trigger and she gets the get and right away she's like, okay, that's it, I'm getting remarried. And she turns around, she gets remarried the next day. She gets married the next day to someone else. Now, she can't get married the next day. She has to wait a couple of months, whatever, because of what if she has a baby, then we won't know who the husband is, but who the father is. But whatever it is, she gets married right away or quick enough. And then she finds out that it wasn't really a get and that she's really still married to the first guy. So now, any time she had bia with the second guy, it was znus, eshes ish, and the children will be mamzerim. So that's a really bad situation. So therefore, the Tanoim made a takana that you cannot be mevatel the get unless you go to the get and actually be mevatel it. You can't do it just in front of a beis din. Now, how does that work? The Gemara asks, as you all saw. Because midioraisa, the get, is batel, which means that she's still married. And we're going to say that midrabanan, it's not batel, so she's divorced and she can get remarried? Same question as our sugya. But there's a huge difference between that and our sugya. What's the difference? This is why Tosos asks this question about Shem Yechapeh in Gittin and not in our Masechta. What's the difference between... It's the same story. That really the get should be batel and the rabbanon keep the get alive. Even though the get should be batel and they should really still be married, the rabbis say, oh, it's okay, you can get remarried. Tosfos has this big kasha. Oh, what about Shem Yechapeh? He also asks, what about mamzerim? We'll be able to be matayer mamzerim. Why? Okay, still, why does that make a difference? Here also we say we won't do it if it's going to come to Takalo. Here also that's going to end up being the answer. There's a different issue, which is a huge difference between the cases. And it's going to be so obvious once I say it. Good. Good. And therefore? Not in Gittin, in Ksubas. And therefore?
She doesn't know that in Gittin.
Correct. Here also she might not know. Like the Tznuos and the Prutzos, they might not know. The Prutzos know.
Yeah.
I think there's a bigger difference. There's a bigger difference. Tircha? Okay. A bigger difference. One, you can initiate on your own, and one is beyond your control. What do I mean by that? The case in Ksubis is just something that happens. An onus happens. You can't control if onus has happened. That's the definition of an onus. Something that's out of your control. So we're trying to solve a situation where an onus occurs. What do? Oh, we apply afkinu. You can't create that on your own. But the case in Gittin is something that anybody can create whenever they want. What do I mean by that? You have a guy, and his wife has an affair, and it's his bas achoso. So he feels bad about it. So what does he do? He can opt to save her. How does he opt to save her? He can't opt to save her a la Meseches Ksubis. What do I mean by that? He can't give her a get and say, this is your get, imlo basi. Right? They got married in the year 2000. Now it's the year 2021. And she has an affair in 2020. So he wants to save her. How is the only way he can save her? Somehow uproot the Kiddushin from 2000. How's he going to uproot the Kiddushin from 2000? So you might say, oh, I learned Ksubis, so here's what he'll do. He'll send her a get now in 2021 and say, Hareza get im lo basi. And then when an onus happens, so we'll apply afkinu, and that way it'll be uprooted from 2020. What do you mean when an onus happens? Who said an onus will happen? You can't control if an onus is going to happen. That's not a good solution. But you know what's a great solution? Gittin's a great solution. Masechus Gittin's a great solution. What do? You write a shtar, a get, you send it with a shliach, and then once the shliach's on the road, you're mevatel it here in Beis Din. What will kick in? Afginu. So you could, you as the Baal can orchestrate when Afginu happens. The case in our case in Ksubis, it's an ones that happens. Then we apply Afginu. So you can't control when that's going to happen. But the case in Gittin is something you can control. You can orchestrate that whenever you want. If you ever want to uproot your Kedushin, right now you went to yeshiva, it's like you learned in yeshiva, you could tell your parents, it's like you learned in yeshiva. You learn that if you ever want to get out of a marriage, all you got to do is send a get with a shliach, and once he leaves, be mevatel et shlo b'fanav, and we're going to apply afkinu, and that's it, you got out of your marriage of 20 years. So it's dafka on that, that Tosfos says, whoa, 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 wait a second. If we allow afkinu, Shemi Yechap al Bas HaChoso, if there's ever a mamzer, we have a kid who's a mamzer because his mother had an affair and he's born, so we'll just say, oh, it's okay, buddy. You don't have to be a mamzer anymore. Just tell your dad to send a get and to be mevatel et shlo b'fnei de shliach. It'll uproot the marriage and your mom never cheated. You're not a mamzer. Beautiful. Or we can never ever give a woman or a man the death penalty for Eishes Ish. Why? Because in order to get the death penalty, there needs to be Hasra. No Hasra is ever a Hasra. Why? Because Hasra has to be Bivadai. I have to be able to say to someone, like, Ben, you realize what you're doing right now? You're breaking Shabbos. This and this is your Icy, and I get Skila for this. And you have to say, I know, and I'm doing it anyway. That's Hasra. But if I would come to you and say, like, Benny, you know, it might be Shabbos today. And if it's Shabbos, what you're doing is an Aveira. That's Hasra Sofek. Because it's not clear. So every Hasra of Eishes Ish, I see a woman about to have an affair and I tell her, what you're doing right now is an Aveira. You're going to get a death penalty. She looks back at me and says, no, your Hasra is not Hasra Svadai because my husband's going to send a get and be mevatelet with a shliach and he's going to uproot the marriage and then what I do is, I did is that I wasn't an Aveira. Now I might say back to her, oh, I know your husband. He's a good guy. He's not going to do that. She says, yeah, but he might. And since he might, your Hasra is Hasra Safik. So we'll never have Hasra Svadai. So now that question is easy to answer. And Tosfos gives an answer to that question. That question will say, yeah, but rov times that doesn't happen. In order for it to be Hasra Svadai, it doesn't have to be 100%. 99.9% is also good. Most cases, this doesn't happen. It could. And Tosfos says it has to be like this. Some of you had trouble with this part of Tosfos. It has to be like this, because if we didn't work with such an assumption, if we didn't work with that thinking, then you can, a lot of times you can never give people punishments. I can never give a Nazir a punishment for drinking wine when he's a Nazir. Why? Because when I come to give him Asra, and I say, hey, you're a Nazir, buddy, you're not allowed to drink wine. He'll say, today I'm a Nazir, but maybe tomorrow I'll go to a Chacham, and I'll do a She'ela on my Nazir, I'll get out of my Naziris. If you could prove that you only took the Naziris under a certain understanding, and if you would have known X, Y, and Z, you never would have become a Nazir, you can go to a Chacham and undo your Naziris. So, I can't get punished for drinking wine because what, you're going to give me Hasra? It's Hasra Safek. We obviously don't say that. But Tosfos is bringing that as a raya that we don't call something Hasra Safek just because there's a way, a pialacha, to retroactively undo what happened. That's not called Hasra Safek. So that question falls to the wayside. You had a question? No, okay. So, what time is it? 29. Okay, so we'll have to finish this up tomorrow, but in terms of answering this question, Tosfos answers the question very easily. Tosfos says that, first of all, let's talk about Shema Yechapeh. Hey, how can, right here's our issue. Afkinu works l'mafreya. Isn't that going to cause a problem with Shema Yechapeh? So Tosfos' first answer is, you know what, that's not so bad. What's the big deal? So you save your... What do you mean? In Gittin was a big deal? No. Gittin's very different. In Gittin, you're lying in order to save her. She really had an affair. Because the get was given before, was given after she cheated. You're going to lie and say that the get was given before. That we when we have a concern of Shema Yechapeh, our concern of Shema Yechapeh is that people are going to lie in order to save their niece. But if you are able to find a halachic loophole to save your niece, so great. Use a halachic loophole. There's nothing wrong with using a halachic loophole. No, we'll pick up from here tomorrow.